he may bring forth that which the Lord has placed upon his heart. And I would pray that we pray for each other, that we will learn and understand and gain from what that is given to us this night. Our brother Rusty.
Good evening. I smile and laugh because it helps the nerves. A little something to start with here. Something that came to mind last week and really has nothing to do with my sermon tonight. I was thinking about my life and how I might make an analogy of it. And I thought it was kind of neat. So bear with me. If it means nothing to you, it's okay. Before I became a follower of Jesus Christ, my life was like a numbered picture. One of those pictures that you go from 1 to 2 and 3 to 4 and the dot to dot. Only there were no numbers on it. And I was doing it in pen. So when I would start that tracing that path there, and I would get to that dot, and I would figure out that was the wrong dot I was supposed to go to, there was really no way to go back and correct it. But I kept thinking to myself that now that I have the love of Jesus Christ in my life, that now that same dot to dot with no numbers on it, that when I make a mistake, I'm allowed to erase it because he gives it to us in pencil. He allows us to make mistakes and repent of what we've done. That we might erase that line when we know that that was the wrong place to be, wrong thing to do. It has nothing to do with tonight's sermon. I just thought that it was something that came to me, and I thought it was kind of neat that I would share with you that our lives are like a picture. And when we're painting that picture, and if we make that mistake, the Lord loves us enough that he allows us to erase that mistake and repent of it and go on. This morning in Sunday school, I spoke to you, I read actually the entire chapter of Colossians 3. Not going to go back and read it. But I will tell you that after I read that, during a discussion, I was led to be known that it sounded like I was talking about total tolerance. And it's kind of funny because I wasn't. I was trying to use that as an example of our love one for another. That commandment, that great commandment that Jesus Christ gives to us. And how Paul was trying to relay that commandment to the Colossians. How he was trying to give them an example. Maybe speak in terms that they understood. Tolerance, no. God himself. Paul gives to them the knowledge to know that God himself has not tolerance for those sins. He said that if they did not put to death those sins which were in that, which I read from that chapter 3, it says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." There was nothing in that chapter about tolerance. God is not going to tolerate our sins, is he? The point I'm trying to make here is that when I spoke the words, when I read this and I spoke what I felt was in here, the words were misunderstood. how easily our words are misunderstood. Words can be so many things. Words can be very descriptive. Driving directions. How to assemble something. Words can create an image in your mind. Did I create a little bit of a picture in your mind when I was talking about the dot-to-dot with no numbers? Did you guys maybe picture that in your head? Words can be encouraging and uplifting. Words can be spiteful, hurtful. They can be meaningless. Words do something to every one of us. There's not one in here that can say that a word has never stirred up emotion. They can tear down one's self-esteem. Words can even cause death. Example, young lady committed suicide because she was being bullied on the internet. Words of another that were hateful, directed specifically to her, caused her to think that the only way out was to take her own life. Words are the tools that every one of us use every day. Can't get away from words. They're in the media, they're on signs. You have to communicate with words, whether they're written or spoken. Unless you're a mute, and then you still use words. I can't think of a situation where words are not used. I'm sure there probably is one somewhere in this world. As you know, that most of my sermons come from something that's happened to me personally. I feel that I am just like you. That when it happens to me, that I need to share what happened to me and what came to me to make me overcome that. I was getting very bogged down, it seemed, by words, inundated with words. In my job as a service engineer is not really to deal with people when they're happy. They don't usually call me just to say, hi, how's it going? They call me because their stuff is broke. And when their stuff is broke, they think that the world has ended. They're not making money. The doctor's mad. On down the line. And I have discussions with people while I'm there. We talk about our everyday life. And it was getting to a point where not only was it discouraging there because everything seemed to be on the downturn. Everybody was talking. It wasn't encouraging. And it was hard to be encouraging. It was getting harder. To listen to the media, the news, to just everything that's going on, it really was starting to bog me down. It got to the point where it was becoming a stumbling block. I felt in my heart that it was really, everything seemed to be negative. The words that were surrounding me were all negative, and it was becoming a stumbling block for me. I was worried about words and when I spoke. Bear with me again. My scriptures don't always go perfectly. But in this turmoil I was in, this mowed, and I was almost angry. But the Lord blessed me. He reminded me of something. He reminded me of a time almost 6 years ago that I was in a reunion, and I sat through that reunion praying that there would be a calling, praying that there would be testimonies or tongues, and remembering that I was feeling like a jealous person, a wanting person, because I wanted to feel the Spirit again, because I hadn't really felt the Spirit since there was this other calling. And I was feeling so cold that day, and Wendy asked if I was sick. I don't know if she remembers it or not. I was cold to the touch. I was shaking. And my brother Bill stood up, and he called Kevin and I. Why did you call me, Lord? Why did you call me? I went home and confused and praying about that. Why did you call me? And I don't remember if it was myself discussing it with Wanda Yates or if it was Wendy. And Wendy relayed how I was, you know, struggling with this. Why was I called? And Wanda said, you know what? He needs to pray about it and just sit down and put his Bible down and let it open. And where it opens, read. Start reading there. And I did. And it opened to Ezekiel chapter 3. Starting at verse 10. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them. And tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures and that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Telabib by the river of Cherabar. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man. Shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. And again, when a righteous man doth turn from the righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. This is what I read. And it didn't make sense at the time. The watchman part did. It did. Okay, I've been chosen. I'm going to be a watchman. I'm going to be given the duty to warn people. What was it I was supposed to warn them? What is it I'm supposed to speak of? It took a while. I wasn't supposed to run around and tell people, hey, watch out, you know, you're going to crash your car, or you're going to stumble. You know, sometimes the words were too literal to me. When I would see the pit of temptation, those words would always paint a picture in my mind. It was a pit. It was the Word of God. The Word of God is what I was supposed to speak to those people. Both the righteous and the unrighteous. Our brother Frank gave me this sermon or this scripture this morning. He didn't use it, but it was close to one that he used. Mosiah 9, page 260. This also tells me what I'm supposed to do. Verse 53 and 54. Yea, even he commanded them that they should preach nothing save it were repentance and faith on the Lord, who hath redeemed his people. And he commanded them that there should be no contention one with another, but that they should look forward with one eye, having one faith and one baptism, having their hearts knit together in unity and in love, one towards another. Now the first part was clear. Very clear. That's what I'm supposed to preach. Faith, repentance, and baptism as a minister. Second part of that, in verse 54, where it says, having their hearts knit together in unity and in love, one towards another. That's where we as a body can be separated by words, by misunderstood words. So I've kind of come full circle by now, right? I know what I'm supposed to be preaching and who I'm supposed to be preaching to. But aren't you supposed to be doing the same thing? You're not ministers. Not all of you. Some of you are ministers, but not all of you are ministers. This next part is the way I feel about how I came to this church. And why I feel that you all are here in this church. I believe that we were called. We were called out because we were truly and earnestly searching out the truth. Not the truth that would fit our needs. Believe me, I lived my life by that for a long, long time. And when I said those words for the very first time, God, I want to be right. And it was in my heart that I wanted to be right. He called me into the church. He called me in where I should be with his words. This does set me and you apart from others And this part in Ezekiel, where the blood of another may fall upon me when I'm judged. Because I truly believe this is the true and right church. That sets us apart. That sets us up that we're to speak the word of God, the truth. And if we fail to do it, we will have the blood of another on us. Sharing the word of God counters anything of the world. Does it mean that when we share the word of God, that the world won't win over? No. It says right here in Ezekiel. It says that the wicked may not choose to follow the word that you speak to him, the word of God. Says the righteous may or may not either. John 1. John chapter 1, starting at verse 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehend not. Genesis 1:1. Just a quick example. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. What is that light? What is the light of men? That's Jesus Christ. In John, we're speaking of Jesus Christ. I'll tie this together here. It was the Word of God that came to me and made the stumbling block turn to a blessing. It was the Word of God that took the anger and the spite out of my heart and turned it to a blessing. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 17. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talk, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Again, the same as in Colossians. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in thee. in the Lord, walk as children of the light. Again, the same as Colossians, saying you were once a sinner, and now you walk in the light of Christ. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Speak about them. Teach against them. For it is shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Where do you find God's will? In the Word of God, in prophecy, in prayer, in testimony. That's where I find it. In preaching, when my brothers stand up here and I hear the Word of God coming out, I hear the will of God. He desires me and you to hear that message. Maybe it's a message for one or all. It's a message where we fall short. It's a message of remembrance. What happens when God's will is not strictly followed? We're going to go to Ezekiel 33, 1 through 20. We're speaking again of the watchman. I apologize for all the reading. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Again, you and I, we are the watchmen. We have the word. We have the truth. We have the righteous words in our hands. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from it, from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And again and again, it says the same thing. If the righteous sin, and you warn them and they turn not, they will die in their sins. Not for all the righteousness that they had, that they had worked so hard to be for, but that one sin they will be judged for. When I shall, starting at 13, when I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity? All his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. I'll stop there. If the will of God is not followed, what happens? We will die in our sin. We will be held responsible for others' sins, our sin for not spreading the word. That's how I would say it. In other words, we will be judged according to our free will decisions, right? I can speak the word of God to any one of you, but it's still your choice. To share God's word and accept it, to remain steadfast. Earlier I read to you John 1:1-5, the word is the beginning. The word was God. We're going to go to the end, Revelation 19. Starting at the 11th verse and going to the 15th. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew, but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That blood, as I interpret this, is the blood of Jesus Christ that was sacrificed for the atonement of your sins. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. The sword. Is that a big steel blade? No. That's the Word of God. That's all he needs. Let's go to Revelation 20, verses 12 and 13. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. We have a combination of works and words. If our works don't include the words of God, the Word of God, I wrote, our works which we are judged by will be according to the Word of God. It's pretty simple. back to the confusing words, back to what got all this started. I was letting the world creep into me, against me, letting it overpower me. Why? I have the Word of God. I accept that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I accept that this is the true and right church. I don't accept it. I believe it. And I want to share that. There's consequences if I don't. And when I let the world, the words of the world, tame my life, then I'll lose all of this. The Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It'll never change. Nothing can break it except us, except our faith in it. We're the weak vessel. Thank you for your time. God bless you. God bless. Thank God for everything I have. And I hope that somebody got something out of this, because it took me forever today.